Exacto. Me falta otra. Y ven. Y ven. My wife is not with us, definitely.
Like So I preach every day and you're praying and you're like, that's a confirmation to what God was teaching me this week. But it doesn't change anything because it remains what? It doesn't make you move, it doesn't make you grow, it doesn't prompt you to do anything. A song found by the purpose of us learning the word of God, the purpose of us learning the word of God is that it can prompt us to do something, and out of that which we do, we grow in understanding. In understanding proceeds from it. So if I can't tell you Jesus loves you, say that. That word Jesus loves you must provoke something in you that causes you to do something. And after you have done something, then you begin to walk in the realization of what it means to be loved by Jesus. So that when you stand up and testify that Jesus loves me, you don't say it because you read it, you say it because you have experienced it. That is the understanding when it comes to the word of God. Understanding is not equivalent to comprehension. It's not the way you were taught a formula in high school and then you understood it. Your mind grasped the formula and you move on. No, understanding is if the word says that I am blessed, then this word must become active in me, that I move in the procedure of the blessings that God has given me. And the end result is something tangible that testifies to the fact that I am what?
I am
what? I am what?
I am what?
Amen. Amen. So, in regard to that, what we are doing this entire month as we learn on spiritual pathways, we are taking extracts from what God is teaching us, from what I am teaching. And we take that extract, meditate on it. After we have meditated on it, we pray on it, we get an action to do, and we begin to walk in that action for a day. And at the end of the day, we expect a result in our life as a result of the word that we have been taught. We do that Monday, we do that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We will do that for this entire time. At the end of the month, we will sit down to see if it worked. If it didn't work, we go back to God and ask Him, God, that one need to work. We need to do. We need to know another way because things need to work in our life. And we do not have time. We don't have time to wait for a message to last for 5 years before we see the fruit and the benefit proceeding out of our lives. In 5 years, we'll be how old? What's that? You'll be how old in 5 years? What? He will be 31. In 5 years, he will be 31. In as he is 31, he is now expected to have more than he requires for himself. Mnacheka? Oh, come on, we at 31, Caleb will need more. He will need more. Not just materially, but even spiritually to sustain his life, to sustain his beautiful wife. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
These people don't trust that he can walk out. On a little bit of a baby, we refuse that. So Caleb must have more. Caleb has no time to wait for the manifestation of something for 5 years. It must happen, it must come with speed. Not that he can accumulate things, but so that his life can be productive daily. His life can bear fruit on a daily basis.
Amen. Amen.
Are you tired of living the way you're living? And the thing is that we don't have any other option. Our only option is the Word of God. We don't have any other option. We can work hard. We can go out and work hard. But that's not an option for us. That's not to say you should not work hard. But that's not an option for us to come through. The only option that we have is that this Word begins to produce for our lives. This Word that we are diligent with, when our mates are out there doing whatever they are doing on Sunday, Saturday, Monday, Tuesday. Some of us are in church every day. When some people are out there doing what they are doing, this that we have been devoted to every day of the week for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, sometimes even praying overnight for an entire month, 2 months. You wake up at 10 a.m. when people are waking up at 8 a.m. not because you want, but because you have been praying until 4 o'clock. This must produce for us, and it must produce for us speedily. There is no need to be born again if we do not have fruits that are not directly linked with the Word that we believe in and we are devoted in. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So, I want you to be attentive. Some of the things, and this is why this month is exciting. Some of the things that we are learning, they are so provocative. They are so provocative. Very provocative. Someone texted me and told me, how can spiritual growth be an illusion? Yet the scripture talks about spiritual things and mature things. Spiritual things and mature something. And I told him, hold up, you have come too fast. You have come too fast. What we are saying here is not new. This is not new revelation. These are new perspectives. Changing the focus of how we view the Word of God, of how we have viewed the process of the Word of God, so that it can be of benefit to us. Amen. Amen. So this week, maybe, what are we doing this week? The first 7 weeks are what? Meditation. What? Meditate. Second 10 minutes? Pray. Last 10 minutes? What? Find an action to do for the day. And then at the end of the day, we accumulate results. So this week, maybe. So if you need to be at work by 8 and you leave your house at 5 and you wake up at 4 to prepare, that means that this week you will have to wake up at 3 to prepare, to pray, meditate, and do what we are doing so that you have time. Amen? Amen. We are accounting for every minute. We are accounting for every minute that we spend on the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And as we do that, we learn certain things by default, and then somewhere in the year, we will teach about time. Okay? We'll teach about time and how we need to make this thing work for us. All right? Spiritual time. Let's begin here. There is something called muscle memory. Do you know about it? Muscle memory, you know about it, you're a musician, so you know about it. You know about muscle memory? Yes, you work out. You must know about muscle memory because you work out. Unless you're not doing it. Do you know about muscle memory?
you know, where is Maso Memorial located? In the specific muscle of the body. Okay. Where is muscle memory located? The same. Who has a different answer? Okay, who does not know what muscle memory is? Okay. So, your body has muscles, right? You know that. Okay. Muscles are responsible for certain activities that you do. Example, walking. Did you know that? So when you walk, your muscles are responsible for the action of doing what? Walking. But now you have walked for so long that the muscles responsible for walking do not need to be trained to walk. When you just stand up and it is forward, the muscles know that I squeeze 2 inches and this adult squeezes 1 inch and this adult squeezes 3 inches and the leg moves. So when you stand up to walk, that muscle does its 1 inch, the other one does its 2 inch, the other one does its 3 inch, and you do what? Walk. You get it? Musicians, when they play instruments, what they do when they practice, they are developing their muscle memory. That's why when you learn something like playing drums, you learn it the wrong way, and you practice it the wrong way, it becomes very hard to redirect you. Ah, so nice to see you again. It becomes hard to redirect you and teach you a different way because the muscles that are involved with either playing the keyboard, the drums, are so used to that routine. Okay? Alright? So, now that you are educated, where does muscle memory, where's the muscle memory located? Sir? Think the brain. Who else? Are you? Still the muscle. Martin, sorry.
Someone the brain.
The brain. Okay. Memory. Where do we store our memory? Where do we store our memory? Where do we store our memory? So where is muscle memory located? The brain is responsible in equipping every muscle in your body in its movement. So as you develop the movement, that's why Afisa always walks like this. Because he conditioned his muscles to bounce. So the moment he just stands up, what do you expect next? You have never asked. You understand? So the muscles don't take care of the memory. The muscles are told what to do by the brain. So the brain takes care. So you move your hand, and you're developing your brain to tell your fingers, this is how it moves. This is how it moves. So that memory is stored up.
Are we getting?
When you begin playing, say, drums, your technique is bad. But if you have a good teacher, they teach you a good technique. Alright? And if you don't practice, then you don't sharpen the technique because you don't teach the brain to store up the memory. Same as singing. That's why Caleb insists that you practice over and over and over and over. You don't make your voice good. You make your brain collect information and
and store it up so that when you open up your mouth, your vocal cords are directed by the information that is stored up in your brain. That is the work of neurons. So we have things that are called neuron pathways. So when I begin to sing today, I will not be the same as when I sing consistently every day for 6 years. I will not be the same. So after 6 years, I'll either be a bad singer because I developed bad technique, or I'll either be a bad singer or a good singer because I developed bad technique, or I developed what? Good technique. So my brain will have stored muscle memory of either good technique or what? Bad technique. And this is what happened. When I practice every day, I continue to build and enlarge and establish the neurological pathways that are responsible for my vocal cord singing. Are we together? So, a footballer will learn how to kick. So if any footballer practicing to take a free kick 60 times in an hour, 70 times in a day, the entire practice session, you hear stories of footballers after their team practice, they remain behind to practice on their technique. What they are doing is that they are feeding their mind with information on how to kick the ball, where to kick the ball, at what intensity should you kick that ball. So when he is in the pitch playing and he sees an opportunity, he knows what velocity to apply, what is responsible for him at that moment. It is his brain conducting the footballing. That's why you cannot be a rugby player, a football player, and be dumb. Even basketball players, the ones you see in movies that are to a scholarship, those people are bright. They are bright enough to know how to shoot the ball. Something that you, with all your PhDs, you will never do, because they have a brain that works. Okay? Do we understand?
Yes.
This is the same thing. It is actually a copy when it comes to building spiritual pathways. They did not know why they told us to pray every day and read our Bible every day. They thought it was a tradition. They didn't know why. But the reason is that every day you continue to build, when every day you wake up and pray, you form a habit, you're waking up to pray, you're waking up to read scripture, waking up to listen to the Spirit, waking up to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. What you are doing is you are strengthening the pathway that the Spirit now begins to use to affect your life. So there's a difference between a believer who's been taught to pray right and they pray every day, and that one who's been taught to pray right and they don't pray every day. So the one who prays every day, after 7 months, 8 months, 1 year, 3 years, they will not struggle with praying. They will not struggle with fasting. Why? Because they have developed their spirit to now actualize the practice of prayer, and the power of their little kneeling down to pray is not exercised by the strength of their flesh. It is exercised by the strength of the spirit that has been developed. So now the spirit channels the power of prayer from the spirit to the soul, to the physical body, because the pathway has been built and developed. You don't just wake up and pray for 6 hours on end. You don't just wake up and pray for 2 hours on end. You don't just wake up and pray for 30 minutes without thinking if time has moved. You don't just do that. You do that when you have developed consistency by building a routine, not for the body, but for your spirit, to begin to channel what it stores through your soul and into your physical body and now out to your environment. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? So the brain mirrors the brain that is physical. When it comes to muscle memory and neurological pathways, it mirrors what you and I should be, what you and I should be doing when it comes to the power of our spirit. There's always a debate between which is the most powerful part of the body, the brain or the heart. What do you think? The heart. The heart can be the most sensitive. This is very powerful. What do you think? The brain, think the brain. What do you think?
Okay.
What do you think? I don't mean to go. But this is the thing, that certain things that you are struggling with, that are entailing a physical practice, e.g. prayer, fasting, what is another one? What is another one? Reading the Bible, reading the Word, what is another one? Yeah? Loving people, that's not physical. It's not physical, that's not physical, that's not. To some part it is, but meditating, some of the things that you are struggling with, that your body fails to help you do it, is because you are burdening the body with a strength it cannot afford. Yet you have not developed a pathway that roots power, that roots efficiency from your spirit to enable your body to stay up and pray at night, to stay up and not eat, to stay up and read, to focus and read the Word of God. That power is stored up in your spirit, but there is no path, there is no highway. So what happens? What happens to the brain when you begin to develop it? What happens to muscle memory when you begin to develop it? Take a picture. Take this picture. Have this picture in your mind. Your brain is like a forest. It's like a forest. Trees and whatnot and it's going. And on the day, on the first day, you begin to learn to shoot a basketball. Alright? You are trying to figure out a path to. You're trying to, you see the ring, you are here, so your brain is trying to calculate the distance, the intensity you should use to throw the ball, and the brain is trying to send that information to the muscles that are relevant in shooting the ball, but it is a forest. There is no chartered path. So the brain tries to figure out a route to send the information to your hands, to your biceps, to your whatever, that to your finger, on how to even hold the ball. Alright? So that's day one. On day two, it's similar. After a week, after 2 months, after 3 months, then there is a carrot in between the trees. And as you continue like that, after 5 years, after 10 years, you cut down the trees. And now there is a road. But this road is filled with logs. You uproot the logs. And eventually you put a tarmac. So it becomes so easy for the brain to send signals to the muscles required. And now you can shoot the basketball even without looking. Because you have developed a pathway from where there was no road to now there is a road, a completely established road. It is the same thing. It is the same thing. It is the same thing. The reason a blind person will come to this place and we will give them money instead of praying for them is because we know the word. Yes? We know the word. We know it's as simple as laying our hands on him and he. But our soul is incapacitated from channeling the power from our spirit to now speak words that can turn blind eyes to eyes that can see. Because we have no practice that channels, that creates pathways, that channels the power of God meditate on your life. You pray. After that, you find that which to do. And when you go do it, you go do it because you have been instructed by the Word of God to do it. And after you've done it, there's an expectation. Because always when you do the Word, this is the thing that you don't know. We don't build expectation out of nowhere. We build expectation out of the practice of the Word. The expectations that we have as believers must be built out of the practice of the Word. That is why no matter how much we tell you, come with an expectant heart. You will come with an expectant heart, but you will never live with anything because that expectation is not derived from your practice of the Word. It is derived because you are told, come with an expectation. Sometimes you just end up praying. You understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? If you don't, please say, I have time to read over and over and over. Just say, hola, Apple will come to your son. So our work as a believer is to concentrate. If I pray, and today I have prayed for 10 minutes. Today I have prayed for 10 minutes. I now begin to channel the power of prayer from my spirit that is empowered by the Holy Spirit, that has been made one with the Holy Spirit. I now begin to channel the power that does not only make my prayer effective, but the power that sustains my prayer life. It sustains my prayer life. So at the beginning, you will find yourself using your physical energy. But now that you have an understanding, you will know how to draw from the spirit so that you eliminate the place of physical energy. Do you know that your spirit has power enough to power your body even without food? You have been, forget your spirit, your soul, your mind, your brain has enough power to power your body. Your soul has enough power to power your body without food. People who are not born again, who are not using the backing of the Spirit of God, who are not using the Holy Spirit to live, are doing marathons without food for 40 days, for 50 days. They wake up, they do. They do triathlons on empty stomachs, yet they are not born again. They say they feed on the wind and energy that the universe provides. Why we? When we announce a bleeding fast, oh my God, oh Jehovah God. It's on that day that you remember you never did breakfast. Most of us don't take breakfast. We take our breakfast at noon. Why? And well, sometimes you don't even eat the entire day. You sit on your computer binging. Now watch me. It's lies. No, all day. That's how chakula. But it never disturbs you. But on the day that you have been activated like this, today is prayer and what? Then your body comes home. Because we have no habit that in turn has built pathways for us in the spirit that directs power, that directs the action of the spirit for us to function in our daily life. Amen. Amen. The same people who are doing the job last week are doing this. There is nothing like spiritual growth, as we have been taught. You are fully capacitated. You have full capacity. In fact, the Bible says that you hold the fullness of God. You carry the fullness of God. And in another scripture, it says that you are filled with the fullness of God. So there is no more spirit to grow into. You understand what I'm saying? You have God the Father, the Son, the Spirit. You have Jesus in his completeness. You have the Holy Spirit in his completeness. When it comes to our spiritual growth, forget the spiritual growth of our mind. Our mind can grow. That's also spiritual. But when it comes to us, when we're talking about spiritual growth, when we're talking about spiritual in this house, we're talking about the Spirit. Every time we come to spiritual, we are reflecting on the Spirit. If you want to talk about ideas that are spiritual, we will say what? Ideas. But when we say spiritual, we're talking about the Spirit. So not only are you carrying the fullness of God, but the scripture says that you have been made one spirit with him. So as he is, the scripture says, be holy as your Father is what? It's not grow in holiness. It's so that you're holy. Okay, I am holy. How do you mean you? It is a realization. So I, with all my life, I'm holy. I, with all these things, I am holy. Yes. Be holy as your Father is holy. So as you are full, as you walk like this. You have the invaluable treasure of carrying God in you. So when it comes to spiritual growth, there is no more room. You have no more room to grow into. You already have the fullness of him. What needs to happen is for you to begin to build pathways. For you to begin to build pathways from your spirit that direct that fullness from your spirit to your soul and ultimately to your body, so that your body, your entire self can be an expression of the fullness that you carry. So in essence, the growth that we are looking at is the growth that sheds away everything that makes you a man. Ideology. He says we are breaking down strongholds and what? Find me that scripture. Find me that scripture. So our work is not to cry for God, I need more of you in me. No.
Yes.
Because he is already in us in his oneness. There is no, he has, you remember that song? You don't do what? Give your heart in what? He doesn't give himself like, he has already given you everything. So your work is now to begin to channel that everything, so that everything can be expressed through you. So if you have ideologies that are inhibiting the fullness of God from expression, that is the growth that you need to attain, so that ideology can be pulled down, can be broken, so that there are pathway can be built where the fullness begin to now germinate and proceed out of you.
Amen.
The reason I say there is no spiritual growth is because when we look at growth from that perspective, it's like we are searching for something that we do not have. And in searching for something that you do not have, yet you already have it, you never
find
it. You never find it. So if you're constantly looking to grow, yet that which you are looking for has already been freely given to you, you now need to begin to learn how to express. You now need to begin to live in that which has been freely given to you, so that you can be productive. That is what we call understanding. That is what found it. Uh-huh.
2 Corinthians 10, 4.
Read from 1.
Now I call appeal to you, Facility, for the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. I am meek and present among you, but full of courage to watch you with me. Now I ask that when I'm present, I may not have to be bold with the confidence that I expect.
Mm-hmm.
I dare to use against some who consider us to be behaving according to human standards.
You hear that? You hear what he's saying? Speak again.
Now I ask that when I am present, I may not have to be bold with the confidence that I expect. I will dare to use against some who consider to us behaving according to human standards.
Mm-hmm.
For though we live as human beings,
okay,
we do not wage war according to human standards.
Okay.
For the weapons of our warfare are not human weapons,
mm-hmm,
but are made powerful by God for tearing down strongholds.
Mm-hmm.
We tear down arguments and every arrogant.
So we tear down strongholds, we tear down arguments and every
arrogant.
Every arrogant obstacle.
Raised up against the knowledge of God.
That is raised up against what? Against what? Against what? Where do we find knowledge? I know it's in the word of God, but I need to be before you. Where is knowledge located? In the mind. Knowledge is not, we're not fighting struggle, so we go and pray against Rudolph. Go and pray against your MCA. That's what we've been doing for so long. Ati kuna mama plani pale, anakuanga ganga ye is strong, so we go pray against. We go find that struggle. We are fighting struggles that come up against the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. So the knowledge of God that you have, that you require, is located where? In you. That was the question. Where is it located in you? Wrong. In where? The Spirit. The knowledge of God that you need is already located in your spirit. That's where, that's why when you read this book, when you read this book and you find what we call revelation, it is not that it has been revealed. It's that your mind has now been aligned with the knowledge that is in your spirit because you have activated your mind by reading. The word is already in your spirit. And the word became flesh and it dwelt among men. So when you received Christ, you didn't receive a man. You received the word. So in your spirit, the word lives. So what you do when you read is that you are bringing your mind into alignment with what is already in your spirit. That's why God can tell you, the Spirit of God can tell you, go buy chips at Moriah. And as you are walking, you find a scripture that backs you going to buy chips in Moriah. I'm making it simple so that you can understand. Alright? Don't say I'm going to pull up out of the scripture. That's what I'm saying. But God will tell you something like, I am the Alpha and Omega. And immediately in you, the word that is in your spirit now begins to reciprocate to that which you have heard. Uh-huh, continue.
That is raised up against the knowledge of God,
mm-hmm,
and we take every thought captive to make it obey Christ.
So, we are breaking down strongholds, arguments that raise themselves up against the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. The knowledge that you already have. So this is a war that can be best described as the flesh versus the spirit. These two are in constant battle. So the arguments, the concepts, the ideologies in your mind that are always contrary to the knowledge that is in your spirit. What building spiritual pathways does is that it clears those arguments.
Wow.
got there, you saw them. Papa left. How? In that moment, when you come to a space where you see impossibility, this is what Paul is saying, that we are now fighting a war that is not fought by human artillery. We are fighting a war that is bringing down stronghold thoughts, that when you see this guy, the first thought that comes to your mind is, Mate, Pastor, I was a can. But now the knowledge of God that is in you, because you have built a root for the knowledge of God to come through, even when that thought springs up, you are now in contention that knowledge begins to pull down stronghold thoughts. And you can lay your, even after that thought, you can lay hands on that person and they recover, because you have consistently built a pathway that directs the knowledge of God to the faculties that make you man. And when the knowledge of God enters the faculties that make you man, then it changes you from now a man to a spirit. You need to learn to think like a spirit. Right. Let me say this. I have something here that might put us into trouble. But I'm teaching this man is what invites God, is what gives room for God to move from your spirit to your soul and then to your mind. That now when you open up and begin to build roads, inroads and outroads from your spirit, it begins to affect your mind, it begins to affect how you think, it begins to affect and influence how you think, it influences the position and the posture of your heart, that is you. And then now your body is brought to subjection of what your soul has been trained, renewed to do. And that is where now God begins to move and have occupancy from your spirit to your soul, to your body, and eventually you affect the environments that you walk in. It is building and maintaining spiritual pathways that invite God to occupy a man's heart, soul, and ultimately his body. That is when you begin to be transfigured. Amen. 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 So even though your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, He will never occupy your body until you have consistently built a route for Him to walk in and out of your spirit and affect your body actively. When you have fully surrendered the faculties that make you man, when you have fully surrendered the faculties that make you man, your thinking process, your thought process, your decision making. I keep telling people that you have to come to the place where you have surrendered the decisions, like what hair you will put on your head, what clothes you will wear today, in your three pairs of socks, which one you will wear, surrendering that decision for him to be today where this blue and white one. It is when you begin that practice with those simple, minimal things that look like don't matter, that the big decisions will not be, it will not be hard to allow Him to give you instruction on how to make those decisions and for you to follow that instruction to the letter. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So God is, what is that big tree? God is a big tree. So you begin this journey and then God decides to pick your hand up. Alright? He decides to do what? Say it boldly, say it with courage, say it like you want something. Alright? He decides to do what?
Pick your hand.
But you in your wisdom will do what? Be like, God has a material structure. God, anashughuligani na boxa yangu. Kwanza anakaniwaidile yenye boka. Like, anashughuligani na boxa yangu. Like, how will me wearing this boxer that no one will see affect? Like, what is his point? And you, in your wisdom, begin your journey of failure. And because you did not listen to that silly proposal, then you set yourself back 3 years, 4 years, 5 years in your journey to become effective in the life that you have. Simply because you told yourself that God could not do what? Pick my hand. atuambia tu kubwa, si ndio? Zile mtu zinakakaa yeye, si ndio? Hizi tu ndogo ndogo atuache. Ndio tusikuwe pia confused. Right, let's read the book of Matthew 27. Verses 51.
Become a pen of a regulator. Inaandika kila kitu.
So, what was I saying?
Efficiency of God.
The restriction of God in your spirit. That is a picture of how. I said, "Mark your man, You see, God told Moses, okay, build the Holy of Holies, put the ark, put what there, and this is where I will come and do what? And meet with you. And then he told him, now put a bay, so that when I come and meet with you, anyone who's not in there will not see, will not hear, will not understand that I met with you. And then he brings Christ, and Christ died, so that you can receive Christ and salvation and become the temple. But now you have become a temple. But still, there's a requirement for you to have a Moses. To have a Moses, to get into your spirit, to meet with God on your behalf, and then come out of your spirit to tell you what is happening. Amen. Yet the veil has been
torn. Jesus.
So this veil being torn was to enable you have a pathway so that the entire being of you will not require a high priest anymore. Amen. So that your soul, your thoughts, your thinking, your body, the way your body acts, the way your body moves, will not require a Moses again. It was torn so that there can be a way created so that when God is in your spirit, the light begins to beam from your spirit to your soul, to your body. So that the reason it's not happening is because we don't walk in the understanding of why the veil was torn. The veil was torn so that a path can be made. But even though the veil was torn, you have to come to the understanding of a veil that has been torn so that a pathway can be made. And that understanding is what builds pathways for you. And this is the thing. At the temple, God would come, right? Right? God would come to meet with Moses. What would Moses do? Moses would enter the Holy of Holies. The veil being torn, and this is another mistake that we are making and we have made as a church and the people in our doctrine for so long. The veil being torn does not just allow one-way access where now God begins to meet with his people. It allows a two-way access. So you have the access to enter while he has the access to come out. So we are constantly looking at it from the perspective of I am going to the Holy of Holies. But now the faith has been done so that he also can come from the Holy of has removed his own limitation.
Yes. Amen.
He has removed his own limitation from meeting his people. And that's why if you have not understood, you have not built pathways, God would times break. Like God would times break. He has a hunger to meet people, to come out of the Holy of Holies. So because you are waiting for you to enter and for you to give him access to come out. He waits, and then he sees like, I must wait forever. And then you have things that we call miracles. They are accidental things where God has been tired of staying in the Holy Ghost, and he decides to come. You and I should never have done this. We are not built to wait for miracles. Are like manna. That's why they make people you don't know that that's such a miracle. Because it's not what? Common. It's not a common occurrence. It's when believers have been sleeping at their job and God is like, but this thing must come in, and he comes out. And because you're thinking miracles small, let me expand your mind. You see inventions that are happening with non-believers? Those are signs of God waiting for you to understand his plan for technology for the future, to understand his plan for architecture for the future, to understand his plan for engineering for the future. Waiting, and what you're doing is fasting and praying, and pulling down strongholds, because they're calling, hey, man, they come on in, you come on and fight job, you come on and you come out and fight job, man. Say, pray for me. People are against me at work. How can people be against you at work when you are the leading whatever in that work is? Like, if you are the one with all the, like, when they need an idea, they come to you. When the company's sales are going down, they're like, what should we do? How will they fight you then? They fight you because you don't work. You bring no profit to. You just tell them yourself. Oh, Nicolantia. Oh, I am praying. Oh, Bono Metzlewa, you know I woke up to pray. And then God waits, and he's like, see, I put the limitation for myself. And then he comes up to you. And your name is like, wow, why did it even happen? It has happened through my heart. Then now you start trying to make it happen. you try, it doesn't happen again. Why? Because the methodology to live constantly in the place where these things are happening in your life has not been found. You have not built a pathway for you to walk in and out. And forever forget walking in and out, for you to make the entire temple the Holy of Holies. You can't figure this out. You, I know you feel it's up, but now, you can't figure this out. You can't fail an exam. Yet you are the custodian of he who knows it all. Forget failing. Failing is okay, because your handwriting can be bad. You can't walk into an exam and not know what we are trying you on that one. You. This is a picture of a believer who understands themselves. That when they are walking into an exam, Your exams reads, number one, define anthropology. How does anthropology affect humanity? Number two, so for number one, check. Number two, how does anthropology affect humanity? And you're like, oh, so you decided to go with this question instead of when did anthropology begin? That's what I'm talking about. I remember my dad was telling me there were days when a driving test was a driving test. Forget these days it's nothing. Excuse me. Nikama driving certificate, the certificate of attendance. As long as you showed up on that day, you have passed. I went for my driving test. We did drive to Kahaba, back at my duties in the chair. We can go, where would I go? Then talk up. I said, you may go and then it's moving to me. There were days when driving test was a driving test. Like people used to pray. Akimi yomeni. you can arrive in just tomorrow because they would fail. So my dad is going to retire this in the year 19 something, the year was not 19 something. And then before he goes to the driving test, he has a dream. For us who have been in dialysis, all right? There's something called heel start. I will not explain it to you. Until you get there, he's going to be down. Ah, he didn't want to say, Mama, just please me, you're not even the part of the dancer. So the askari who would test you, angekupeleka afikishe kwa mlima asimamishe gari, and then akwambie uanzishe hiyo gari, move the car forward. If the car rolls backward, you have failed. So my dad amelala, tomorrow is the next his driving test, and then we have a group of the askari asking him to do an instant. So when he goes to the driving test, he knows that what I will be tested on. And for sure, my visa. I said, I come to Shaka Mlima, because I'm Shagari, and I'm a commander. I am. Rudu, 12. And he passed his exam. Because he knew what was coming. I figured out what I sweat, the lacking, Martin, and the moto. He passed his exam. The reason we still let us, we still. It's because the power that can educate us on passing this exam is still inhibited by a curtain. Yet the curtain has been what? We have not consistently build a system in us that enables us to have spiritual muscle memory. Unabidi kujifunza kuomba mpaka unaomba ikifika mahali kama ikifika mahali fanya unajua sasa umeingia na wengine. You get what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? Like, unaomba, at the 45 minute mark, inakuwa nini? Unajua sasa hapo. Hey, unaweza anza kuestablish me, because umeshatengeneza njia, unajua hii maombi isipofika mahali bado. Unaendelea kuomba, unaomba. Wengine inachelewa, umepiga 3 hours, after 3 hours back, mimi nimekawia, lakini tumefika, tumefanya nini? Tumeingia. I was listening to a certain man of God and he was saying that his schedule is like this. He wakes up, he goes for prayers with his church staff, and then teaching. After the prayer session, with a teaching session with his church staff, after that he goes back to his house, he sleeps for 45 minutes, and then wakes up to pray in preparation for his evening service. He does not leave the room until he meets God. If God will not meet him before the evening service starts, he says, "Edeleni na nini?" Service. He does not leave his room. And he says, it doesn't matter who is dying. That schedule is not broken. After our Peter was saying, President so-and-so, and a politician. He does not leave his room until he meets God. It doesn't matter how long it takes. He does not leave his room. Until he meets God. He has a program that is somewhat physical, but has enabled him built a consistency for his spiritual life, that he knows when he has attained certain heights in the realms of the spirit when he is praying. And when he comes out of that room, when he begins to pray, when he begins to teach, and you listen to him, you are constantly in tears, you are constantly, if he needs for you to repent, you are constantly repenting. If he needs for you to cry, you are constantly crying through what he's teaching. Why? Because he has opened up pathways in his spirit that channels of my spirit in absolute ignorance. Those are good songs. In when in a goosebump, but we need to know what we are. We need to know what we are saying. And even if that song had power to open up channels, today they are closed. They are closed. We need a plan. Amen.
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 Amen. I'm so excited about the opportunity because I know it is very transformational. And if you don't take it, trust you me, I will take it. I will take it all times. I don't want to have a church where I am certain, and I'm not seated like this, waiting for it to happen. I know the actions I'm taking out of the word that proceeds from the mouth of God so that my life can be out.
Amen.
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 My testimonies are not huge. They are many bigger testimonies.
I find myself in there.
Was doing is that he was walking a journey. He was walking a journey, and you see that journey. You see, they go to spaces, and the same place where they go to is where Jacob was. He slept, and there was a pathway. He moves, and they are following a journey, and Elijah is walking his journey. Remember, Elijah had already done that trip when he was running away from who?
Jezebel.
He had already done that trip. So on him going back, he was not walking on a pathway that he did not know. But Elisha was following one who had already created a pathway. And when it comes the time for the pathways of Elisha began, where the pathways of Elijah ended. So we will look at that, where there is a responsibility. I'll explain to you what all this whole debacle of what mentorship is, sonship, spiritual fatherhood. Spiritual fatherhood is not for you to put up on that. Oh, that. Oh my God, 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 oh my God. And this child that you have never walked any journey. This child that you have never teaches you that this is a journey I'm walking, like my footsteps. This is. It's not to say that you should not call anyone. But make sure that after you are dad and mom, there is a profit. There is a profit. There is a profit for you. There is a profit for you. There is a profit for you. There is a tree that your children can carve. When you call someone dad, do you ever reconcile to yourself and think, now that this is my dad, if I get someone to call me dad or mom, what am I going to chakula? How will be dad? Just get born. Amen. And when that time comes for you to give to your dad, I am open. Amen. Amen. Can you stand up? So tonight we start again with our practice. Amen. We continue. So we an hour of the day, the first hour of the day, before you tune into Status Updates by Sharon Bidet. 1 hour. Before you see what Capua Jesus and the wife did yesterday. Before you see Comrade's flavor. Before you see you go to TikTok to learn the new TikTok dance. 1 hour. Amen. What are we doing in the first 20 minutes of the hour? We are meditating on the word. I've made sure that every extract of the sermon that comes to us with scriptures to accompany it, so that you are not just meditating on empty words, maybe some things I said when I was happy, but they so that you're not meditating on quotes by Sifa. You are meditating on something that proceeds from the mouth of God. And then on the second 20 minutes, what are we doing?
We are praying.
We are putting a rubber stamp on that which we have meditated on. And then on the last hour, the last third of the hour, it's our time. Stand for an action that is provoked by this word. And then from there, the moment that our ends, we begin to do the action. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. And you come on what our people to hear, honey. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. You have your offering. Do you have your offering?